Good evening. Welcome back. It's In The Know, brought to you by the Racing Post and Boyle Sports. My name is Ross Briley, and we're back for more entry, fun and games. And wow, well, it really was fun and games today, wasn't it? It's amazing what 40 minutes will do to a man's mental state, and you can probably ask Nico de Boinville about that. But jumping is the aim of the game. Lalamba didn't do it. Django Bay did. Impere Pass didn't do it. Cocktail Divan did. And that's pretty much the way it went today in the Grade Ones. We had a right old ding dong between the mares in the 4-year-old race as well. And have you ever seen an easier winner over the national fences than Barton Snow? Looking around for dangers, and there weren't any. Could have easily gone round again and had another crack. What a race that was. As for tomorrow, we've got another whole bunch of form lines to test. We'll see how that Ryanair stands up with the winner Hartwood going for another crack over at Aintree. We'll also have a look at the Supreme form. We'll have a look at the Albert Bartlett form and much more besides, and some big juicy handicaps to get stuck into as well. I think it's fair to say there's probably more betting opportunities on day two than day one, but we might live to regret that sentence. We'll see how it goes. Get in touch on the chat if you're watching the show. Like I said, we are live and interactive as ever. And joining me tonight, to my left, Mr. Graham Rodway is ready for day two of Aintree. But first, G-Rod, day one. It's weird, isn't it? Aintree again. It's almost like, I don't know, it's like a normal weekend compared to having 2 weeks off on holiday. Cheltenham's everything. You've got there's so much going on. And Aintree's a lovely weekend. And I don't know, really good races seem to happen. You enjoy them. And then another one comes 40 minutes later. It's all very calm and enjoyable.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it just doesn't seem as important as a Cheltenham. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in quite a nice way, really. It's like, not the be-all and end-all, is it, if you don't win at Aintree?
The pressure's off a little bit, and that makes it... I mean, we're saying it from our perspective. I mean, I'm sure for trainers, jockeys and owners and all that kind of stuff, that's not true. But again, I think that almost makes it sometimes more enjoyable to a certain extent.
Yeah, and you get this narrative every year about, you know, horses coming from Cheltenham to Aintree, and I get asked this question every time: should I back Cheltenham horses? Should I not back Cheltenham horses? There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it to me, Ross. Like, look at the Aintree hurdle today. You might as well just rerun the Champion hurdle and taken Lossiemouth out, mightn't you, really? It was a complete rerun of that race, wasn't it?
It was a complete rerun, almost to the point of every jockey... It wasn't even the finishing positions. It was every jockey and every horse seemed to ride and run the same race. It was like in the exact same positions from the start to the finish as they were in the Champion hurdle. And today I thought... It didn't work 3 weeks ago necessarily for the beaten horses, yet you've gone and done exactly the same thing and got beaten again by a horse who's ridden more aggressively, more prominently.
Yeah, like you could call Bright Days Ahead the winner of that race halfway round, couldn't you?
Because
you'd seen that movie before, hadn't you, Ross? Only last week or 2 weeks ago, or whatever it was. You know, it was quite remarkable, especially considering that Harry Skelton came out of the Champion Hurdle and said, well, they didn't go fast enough for me. Well, they definitely didn't go fast enough for him again, because he travelled like the good horse that he is, the new Lion. But the problem is he's a bit keen, isn't he?
Yeah.
And that'd be my worry for him going up to further. A few people say, well, you know, he's a bit slow, we'll go up to further, but he travelled all over Brighter Days Ahead coming to the last. But then when you let him down, he hasn't got much left underneath the bonnet, because he pulled his way around the whole way. Or he's not silly keen, but he's just keen, isn't he?
I feel like if you could see his gearbox, the numbers would be in the wrong order, if you know what I mean. Like, they're all there. I just feel like he's using them at the wrong time.
Yeah, he's such a frustrating horse, because every time I see him, I think, you're a good horse.
Yeah.
When are you going to show me it? And today, for a second, I thought we were going to see it. I thought, well, he's cruising all over Brighter Days Ahead.
Yeah.
When he presses the button, he's going to go and weigh and win. And he presses the button, makes a bad mistake at the last, and then he's floundering out the running, and she's hammering him from there.
Well, I almost thought Alexi was closing him on the line as well, who, again, I think maybe because he can be a little bit keen, we'll restrain him, we'll creep into it. But again, that didn't work, and I felt all the way around, like, you're going well, you've got a chance, but I don't think at any point you're going to win. And then you're closing at the line, you've got all the questions, are we going to get the trip, are we good enough? Like, the answers are yes and yes, but still... You were never going to win the race.
No, it's like overcomplicating it, isn't it? The one who kept it the most simple went and won the race.
And to be fair, the factor there, I would say, is that Brighter Days Ahead is more experience. And it is a lot easier to keep it simple when you've already made these mistakes.
Yeah.
So the second and third are...
She's a very straightforward ride, isn't she, Brighter Days Ahead?
Yeah.
The second and third, maybe not quite.
Maybe
so
not,
much.
But they've had less chance to show it in this grade.
They did try, of course, with the new line, to make the running, didn't they, at Newcastle in the fighting fifth when Constitution Hill came down. He was in front the whole way, and then that went wrong. So you can't really blame them, can you?
No. No, and again, sometimes you have to go extremely this way, extremely that way, in order to find the middle. So they might find the middle.
Is there still a good horse in the new line?
Yes, but I can't work out. I can't work out what he wants, what he needs.
Mm.
But yeah, clearly, like I said, but it's just waiting for it to click, isn't it?
Mm.
And look, and some horses take a little bit longer than others. Some horses. He might still be figuring it out himself, to a certain extent.
He's only had 8 runs, hasn't he? Or?
Yeah. So, as for the rest of the day, Tom Siegel, we saw Gordon Elliott open up with a Grey One winner, and again, I'm sure people were thinking, see, you want horses who skip Cheltenham. And then Cocktail Divan wins the Manifesto. But again, at least with the hurdle races, you might get your horse beat by thinking, oh, he's a little bit too far back, or he's made a blunder at the last. But what do you think of the results? I feel like both the Manifesto and the Bowl, if you asked 50% of people, and it's probably depending on what they backed, they'd say, oh, this horse would have won if he just stood up. You get a completely different answer if you ask the next person in the street.
Yeah, I mean, just watching him back a second ago, I thought Django Bay would have won whatever. Myself. I mean, I know he was travelling quite well, but he's a proper stayer, Django, but I'm not sure in Pere Pass. Who knows what would have happened to Lulamba myself. Scott, as we've said, this is the one, it's about the only horse I'm getting right at the moment, but he's got something of the night about him, Lulamba, isn't he?
Mm.
Just things go wrong. He didn't win the Triumph Hurdle when everyone thought he was. He didn't win the Arcor. He fell over this time. I'm sure the engine's there. I'm sure he's very good, but keeps losing. And that's not the type of horse I like. So, listen, I'm sure there'll be big days for him. He looks like a King George horse for me. He reminds me so similar to Shishkin. Shishkin won a lot more races than he has so far, but they're very similar. They just sort of, they look a bit clumsy and they look a bit, and then suddenly the turbo, and then they fall out. You know, things just go wrong. So I don't know about him. Django Bay, I thought, would have won. I think he's really good. He didn't jump so well early on, but was well on top, I think. I love that horse. Shows you what a great performance Gaelic Warrior put up to beat him as he did. And as for the Topham, well, that was over after two fences because, there's just no carnage in these races anymore, is there? It's just not what, yesterday I was on there, I said, oh, you can't back that horse at 7-4 in a Grand National race. Well, it was 4-7 after two fences,
yeah,
wasn't it? Because there's just no carnage. There's just no, the fences are too small. There's no jeopardy.
Yeah, carnage is about because if you're saying not to people, hey, get into jumps racing, you like a bit of carnage, then
being my age group, there were lots of things that went wrong in natural races. You had horses running around, and there's no loose horses. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing that can upset you. You can't, if you get into a rhythm up front, and it's the same in all these races, and every time you watch it, it's really hard to come from behind. Barton Snow, I thought he might be, they might hold him up. They might, because he can be a bit fizzy. They might do this. He's in second after jumping the first, and it's all over.
Yeah.
But look, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. You've got to change with the times. That's good, isn't it? We don't want horses getting injured. And then as for the Red Rum, I thought that was exactly the same, wasn't it? It was a four horse race after two fences.
Yeah, which is why partly I've stopped betting in handicap chases because you spend all the time studying the form and then they jump a couple and you think, right, yes, they're your four. It's out of those four. Yeah. And look, you can try, and you knew Sam Bree, for example, was always going to be where he was. There are some horses you always know will be there, but a lot of the time you go, oh, we're in eighth, and I was expecting him to be in third, and now I can't win.
Yeah, exactly. I tipped a horse in the read in the Aintree race in the Topham race, I expect to make the running. And he was held up last on the outside. He's gone from being a 14-1 shot to a 414-1 shot.
Yeah.
After 1 yard.
Yeah.
After 1 yard, you know. And that's the problem with especially Aintree and at Cheltenham this year. They're so competitive, those chases, that you really, really got to get in a good position early on. You know, it doesn't matter so much at your Warwick's on a Tuesday, you know, or your generally your Saturday races at Newbury or wherever. You know, you can do what you like and you can win. But in these really, especially when the ground gets better and you've got good horses running, you know, you got no chance. You know, those, you know, and that red run was ridiculous, wasn't it? There was 14 of the horses or however many, you know, 10 of the horses were literally 0% chance of winning after one fence.
Yeah.
0%. Not even a million, not even 1%. Had no chance. And that's the problem, because you know, people like me, you, Graham, we might try and, this is why I always say you've got to forget about trying to analyse races so hard, because you think you've got it right, and then as soon as the race starts, you think, well, I got it completely wrong. And it's not only do you lose your money, you feel you're an idiot at the same time.
Yeah, you're right. And look, sometimes, to be fair, and also in our jobs as well, you can. I think your average, say, Saturday punter, I think, to a certain extent, will very often oversimplify things. And very often we will overcomplicate things. And the answer really is in the middle, isn't it? Somewhere. Because, yeah, sometimes you can get excited about it, or you get stuck into something, you start to come up with all sorts of things, and then you don't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, we're not there yet, but we will soon be doing these shows on the flat.
Yeah.
And we'll have analysis to paralysis about where you've got to be drawn, where the pace is going to be, and then it happens on the other, goes on the other side.
Yeah.
And you think, what was I doing? I spent 2 hours trying to work out what was going to happen. I've got it completely wrong, and I'm done in 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's the title of your new email, isn't it? Done in 10 seconds.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's very frustrating watching a horse race, because that's what happened. Cause
yeah. To be fair, that's always happened. It's just more, I think.
It hasn't, though. It's not been quite like that. I mean, if you watch Nationals and Aintree races over the past, and Cheltenham races over the past, I think it's so competitive. I think the horses are so much better than they used to be. You know, you've got proper flatbred horses, you know, you've got Derby winners siring, you know, staying chasers.
Yeah. I think everyone's probably got better. The whole thing's got more professional, hasn't it? And it's like football. I mean, to a certain extent, the Premier League this season is dull because everyone's too good. Every team is, the difference between the best and the worst isn't as big necessarily. Anyway, look, this is a whole different podcast to a certain extent, because we're going to get stuck into it today too very shortly. But a shout out to everyone in the chat. Rob Dixon is calling the new lion essentially brewing up a storm, that kind of horse. He's saying that he would target a weak grade twos next season and then get beat in grade ones. It's a bold shout, Rob. It's a bold shout. And Tommy says, I've seen more fallers in hurdle races than over those national fences. But again, I don't think any of us want to see fallers. We want to see it be tough, don't we? And John Hall says there's still a lot more to come from Django Bay. As a 7-year-old, the King George has to be his main target next season. Right, we'll get stuck into day two very shortly. Before we do, a reminder that we are partnered with Boyle Sports. So if you sign up as a new customer and bet £10, you'll get £40 in free bets. The link is in the description on the YouTube page down below. So click that if you haven't done so already and sign up for day two of the Grand National Festival. Again, let us know your fancies in the chat in capital letters if it's your nap, so I can pick them out amongst the chit chat. And let's get on to a big field handicap hurdle to kick things off. 2.5 miles the distance here. Indivar Blue 9-2, Hot Fuss 13-2, Joyeuse is 7-1, Mdio Pepe, which is I don't know, I assume your favourite obscure pasta dish, 15-2. Wellington Arch, 9-1. Jazzy Matty, 10s. Favour and Fortune, 11s. 14-1, Trusting Times. And bigger prices, the rest, Rodders. And, you know, none of this, 2.5 miles, big field, handicap hurdle. None of this, you'll know exactly who's won the race from the first furlong. Unless, of course, it's last year's race when Wellington Arch stacked them all from the get-go and they couldn't get near him. And again, that does often happen in these sort of races. But never mind all the negativity. Let's be positive and hopeful. What stood out for you in the opener?
Well, it's quite a difficult race, isn't it? Well,
is it is.
To won the field.
It is, definitely,
with?
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably the most competitive race on the card, or one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Indivar Blue is blindingly obvious, isn't he? He was second to Tutti Quanti, wasn't he, in the red-hot Jerry Fielden, was it, at Newbury? Then they won a race here, didn't they, at Christmas? And then yeah. They've put him away, given him wind surgery. And it's like, Bob's your uncle. If that wins, you're going to smack yourself in the front of the forehead, aren't you? And go, how am I not back that?
Well, yeah, and they've clearly gone, looked at it, we know what race we're going to go far. We don't want to, let's just keep the mark where it is and go for the race we want to go for.
It's the Dan Skelton strategy that's worked so well down the years, isn't it, of, you know, not running them, basically. Or
and then they targeting,
up,
isn't it?
Yeah, turn up and well handicapped. However, in this sort of race, you're always looking for price, aren't you? Favour and Fortune's run a couple of good races around here, hasn't he? He's got a big old weight, but he runs his best races around Aintree, and I thought at double figure odds he had a chance. And one of them I want to throw in is Top Jimmy. He was second to Scorpio Rising at Windsor, and that was a really good race, I think. The time looked fairly solid, although it's difficult to stack up times at Windsor, isn't it, because there isn't a massive body of evidence.
Yeah.
But they did finish that race really strongly, and of course Scorpio Rising came out and won since. And then Top Jimmy fell in the Imperial Cup, I think it was, at Sandown last time, certainly on that day, and he probably wouldn't have won, but he appeared to have every chance. So I'll probably have a couple of bets.
Harry Lowe's is well down the field in that Windsor. That Windsor race did look a good one, didn't it?
Yeah.
And he's also going to be ridden, in theory, Top Jimmy. If you ride in the way he did at Windsor, because I backed him that day and I thought, this is perfect. It's exactly what I want to see.
Yeah.
And I was watching, I thought, ping everyone, every single one, and then here comes Sean Bowen. But that can, as we saw last year, work around here.
Yeah, can, yeah. He hasn't got any course form, has he, because he's still not run at the track, so we're guessing on that. But Twist and Davis team's got fairly good record around Aintree. When I looked earlier in the year, they had a very good record at that meeting there that they have, the Beecher Chase. So again, it's another one, a difficult one to analyse from stats, isn't it? Because you've got the Twist and Davis, then you've got them going Nigel and Willie Twist and Davis, and then you've got to try and run out single stats for Nigel, single stats for Nigel and Willie. Gets really complicated. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. But Top Jimmy and what was the other one I said?
Favour and Fortune.
Yeah. They'd be the two. I have small bets on each way, but it's not a race that I'm massively strong on, as you may have gathered, Ross.
That's fine.
My indifference towards it.
Well, that's fine. We're saving the Rodder's darts for later. nice to do the field. I mean, again, it is. I love a big field. I love it. I love a big field handicap hurdle, Tom. This is certainly one of those.
It's tricky, isn't it? Indivar Blue missed Cheltenham, doesn't he? That was the big Ollie Murphy hope of having his first Cheltenham winner, and then he went wrong, didn't he? And he's had a wind operation since. But he likes here, and the form behind Tutti Quanti is really good. It's no surprise to see at the top of the market. It's just there's so many you can make a case for. Do I want to back him at 9-2? Maybe we'll see how Amsterdam. I thought Joyeuse had a chance. I think she will stay. I think she's looking. Look, she looks like she wants 2.5 miles now. She didn't run too badly behind the champion hurdle winner here last year in the Grade One, did she? She's beaten a bit of distance, but she ran okay. Hot Fast is clearly very good. I mean, you were talking about Top Jimmy there or whatever. I've never, ever seen a horse jump worse than he did at Sandown last time. And I've seen a lot of horses in my time. Blundered second, nearly fell over at the fourth, nearly fell over at the fifth, did fall over at the sixth. I mean, he's got a lot of ability, as we saw at Windsor.
Yeah.
But if he's got, I mean, that was horrendous. That was horrendous jumping. It wasn't bad. It was as bad as I've ever seen. So you take your risk with him. But if he could get into a rhythm out front, he would have a chance. Rodders, I think Favour and Fortune can go well. Wellington Arch obviously won the race last year. I thought Trust in Times had a chance as well. The form of his race at Kempton last time worked out really well. He's been off because he didn't like soft ground. But Willie the Builder won it, and he's won. He went up £10 since and has been running okay, ran fine in the county hurdle. Indemnity was in behind. Mm. One of Willie Murphy's that runs later on in the card won since and was in behind. I think it's just good form. I think the question about him is 2.5 miles, but he looks, he's sort of a Judd Monty type horse. He's by time test out of a sprinting type mare, whether it's related to a few sprinters, but it looks like he wants 2.5 miles. Harry Fry tends to know well at this from meeting. He didn't think. And I thought he'd run well. So my you can make a case for loads. My one, I thought Joyers and Trust in Times would be my two. But as you lads pointed out, it's very, very tricky.
It is, yeah. But you're right. I mean, yeah, the form is good. I mean, Trust in Times, even that previous race where he beat Fortune Demur, who's rated, mid-130s now, I think. So that form looks pretty good as well. And then obviously, it's funny because I have a... I've been doing this show for so long, but every year I have my own personal tracker in my head, Tom, and they are horses that you and Keels have strongly tipped in races that haven't won. And I have them in there just because I know, you know, Ryan's Rocket today. I looked in the paper and I said, Keels, how have you not put it up? And Hot Fuss is on that list for you.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I don't know what Keels is like. I can say for myself, when you lose money on horses or you tip horses or back horses that don't win, you can either go two ways. You can either stick with them or you find them really frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm one of those that finds it really hard to go in again after a horse has... Now, Hot Fuss has never done me wrong, to be fair. I love him. He's by one of my favourite little sires, Calix, who's unfortunately not with us. And so I follow all the Calix horses. As you can, you know, those who will have backed Rogue Diplomat in the Lincoln will have copped on to.
But you've got over that anyway. But yeah, you're all right with that.
Never will. And so I love him. It's just 2.5 miles. He just keeps. Yeah. I don't know. He's plenty short enough. And what do you do about the horse of the Skeletons that, you know? I mean, what's that? You just don't know, do you?
You don't. I think you just ignore it, and if it beats yours, you accept it, basically. That's what I would do. There are a couple others at the bigger price I thought were a little bit interesting. I mean, I think Ike Sport will run well. Again, he's an exposed 8-year-old. He's another one that's probably targeted at this race. Yeah. He ran well in it last year. And then I had a look at Swindon Village as well. I thought it was a little bit interesting. He looked really good over this trip in a couple of novices. And they step him up to 3 miles. He doesn't get home. They go, oh, fine, come back to 2.5. And then they go, oh, maybe another go at 3 miles.
Yeah.
And he didn't get home in the Albert Bartlett. But and I had a look. One, yeah, where are we? 2006 was the only time a horse ran in the Albert Bartlett and then came to run in this race. Zip Along Lad. Finished fourth in this, so there you go. But I thought he went well over a trip he didn't get home last time out, and he's a big price. So, okay, there's a few in the opener for you. Let's have a quick look at the chat before we move on. Indivar Blue for Borat and Wellington Arch to get the day off to a flyer being laid out for a repeat win, says Dorian. Let's go to the 220 then, first grade one of the day, 3 miles for the novice chasers. And Wendigo here is 7-2 favourite. Gold Dancer fours with Salva, 9-2 Miami Magic. Regent Stroll, 9-2. Jordan's Cross is 10-1. 12-1 Doyen Quest. 40-1 the outsider of the bunch here, Crest of Fortune. Wendigo, who came down at Cheltenham, is your market leader here. Punters keeping the faith, Tom. Last two winners of this came from Handicap Company last time out. And again, I feel like this is one of those races where the horses who were maybe top weight in decent novice handicaps, they do go, right, now let's go and have a crack at the grade one. And there's really not that much between the top five in the betting in terms of overall form.
And there's not much between them in terms of the prices, are there? Looking at those Boyle Sports prices, there's, what is it, five of them between 9-2 and 7-2. The bookies don't know what's going to win, and I certainly don't. I'm surprised that Salva isn't favourite myself, because he going to beat Wendigo last time in the Cheltenham, wasn't he? After not having anything go right. Question is, he tends to get behind, and is that going to be the right sort of... for this track? Don't know. Regent's Troll has got a much better chance in this than he did in the handicap thing. That was always going to be his problem, Regent's Troll, in the handicap, was the start, because he's a lunatic, as we've seen on many, many times, and he can cause problems at the start. A smaller field here will help him. I give him a shot. But the one I like really is Miami Magic. I just think he's just a bit underrated. I was impressed with him at Cheltenham. And then I thought he ran fine in the Scilly Isles. I think that's good form. I know 6 Mile Bridge blew out when he didn't jump a fence in Ireland. And then won by 14 lengths last time. I think this has been his target all along. So they would be my two, Miami Magic and Regent Stroll. But if Salva could sort of get himself into a good position, I think he's the most talented.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And again, it's trying to work out whether you want your late headway monkeys, as it were, Rodders, because Salva was obviously shot home at Cheltenham. I am a bit surprised. I mean, I came round to Wendigo in the Brown advisory. I was disappointed with him. I just thought he ran a bit flat. I don't know. He seemed to be in the right place at the right time. I just was a bit disappointed with him.
Yeah, he took a perler of a fall, didn't he? That would be my worry. And he was beaten at the time, definitely. But he has got... Well, I don't think this is a very good race. Should we put that for a Grade One? You know, I think this is a fairly ordinary race, and I would say that Wendigo is one of three that you could say is almost certainly good enough to win the race. He has got form to suggest that he can. Salva obviously is the one who sets the standard, but I've got similar concerns to Tom. He has a habit of getting himself into a poor position, and around Aintree, spinning around that flat track, quick fences coming up fast.
Which is probably why, you know, this off the ground at least will slow the others down a bit so that he can pick them up.
Yeah.
But that seems to be when he excels, whereas...
Yeah, it does, yeah. He's got loads of form that says he can win it, and he absolutely rocketed home, didn't he, like Tom said at Cheltenham. But I don't see any other scenario than him being at least fifth or sixth turning for home, and hard under the pump. And then do you want to be on him? The question is, you know, can he run them down from there? I would suggest it's probably unlikely. I haven't given up on Jordan's Cross.
Yeah.
Now, he was one of these at Cheltenham, wasn't he, that I thought got duffed up at the start. He never got into it.
He had no chance, did he?
No. You know, Tom was talking just a minute ago about, you know, horses knowing their fate after 10 seconds. Yeah, if you back Jordan's Cross at Cheltenham...
You were cross.
Yeah, he was beaten after one fence.
Yeah.
He had no chance. So you can completely ignore the Cheltenham run. He's got form around here. Again, Honeyball does really well in these sorts of races, only 3 mile stay-in chases. At the prices, he's probably the one I back, although I obviously, last time I was on with you and Tom, I tipped Regent Stroll in that race at Cheltenham. And I thought he ran a remarkable race, really, because he was on the outside. He was poorly positioned.
Were we watching it? Because I remember saying that after the race, saying that he's run his absolute face off. And if he'd have been where Meet Me by the Sea was, and partly it's because Tom says he is his own worst enemy to that extent, but if he's where the winner is, I think he probably wins.
Well, I remember I said to you and Tom, you know, I'm hoping Carrie's going to line up on the inside and jump off like he always does and get a nice position on that rail. And Tom said, I think at the time, there's no way he'll do that because he's too much of a lunatic. They'll line up on the outside. And that's exactly what they did. Yeah. But how much ground did Regent Stroll give up going? I mean, he was going 4 or 5 wide the whole way round.
Yeah. And also, I watched it again, he was 2 lengths off his nearest horse, even when they jumped off. And he... Again, he's always going to put himself in that situation to a certain extent. But like I said, he's another one that if he gets to the speed, he goes from, 9-2 to 9-4 almost, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But there'll be loads of others trying to do the same, won't there? Yeah. Miami Magic will be there. Dorian Quest only has got one way of going. But every time Dorian Quest goes up there, he gets run down by Salva, don't he? So, you know, you can see any number of scenarios, as Tom says. And if we could all sit here and give tips after 1 or 2 fences, I'm sure that we'd pretty much nail the winner. But unfortunately, the night before, when we don't know what's in front after 2 fences, is a bit more of a guessing game. But with that in mind, I want to back something at a price, and I'll give Jordan's Cross another chance.
All right, fair enough. Wendigo 7-2 favourite then, and someone on the chat, let's give him a name check. Where are we? Where do we go? Luke Salmon says, nobody's mentioned Gold Dancer, so I'm backing him. And it is that sort of race.
Yeah. I think Luke's got it spot on.
It is that sort of race. But yeah, and it's also Mullins and Townend, albeit they don't have a great record in this race, but they've got other targets either side over the Irish Sea to go for with horses of Gold Dancer's profile. Okay, I'm hoping Regent Stroll gets into a decent position, because I want to see what he's got under the bonnet when he actually gives himself a chance to show it. Hmm. So I'm expecting to be disappointed almost, but I'm hoping I'm not, because I want to see him do what, you know, Stage Star's done and that kind of horse in the past.
Yeah, so it could happen.
It would be nice if it did. It would be nice if it did. Right, the next race on the Aintree card is the Top Novices Hurdle. And Sober Glory is the 8-13 favourite to make up for ploughing through the last and getting run down at Cheltenham. He's 8-13, but he does have to beat the Baron, Baron Noir, who, of course, producer Ben, quite rightly, has been excited about all season. And he ran... Again, the more you watch that Supreme, the more of a cracker he seems to run. He's 3-1. Sinatra 13-2. Starting 15-16. La Conquiere is 20-1. Storming George 33-1. You'd have to go. 2018 is the only time in the last 15 years that the Supreme hasn't thrown up the winner of this. Sinatra is obviously a very exciting horse, and I think he'll run well for a hell of a long way, Tom. But it looked a strong. Supreme Novices this year, and yeah, again, excited to see the top two take each other on with connections of Baron Noir, probably a bit more confident about putting it up to the favourite than maybe they were at Cheltenham.
Well, they should be, shouldn't they, because he ran so well when he was sort of not really on anyone's radar apart from Ben, the producer's radar, that much before the race. He certainly is now. He ran a cracking race, but then you go back to his bumper form in Punchestown when he beat El Caros, and you know, people said El Caros blew out. He didn't blow out. He ran a cracker in the Supreme. He's just not good enough. And there were some four good horses that beat him. He beat all the Irish, and there were four very good horses that beat him, including Baron Noir. Personally, I mean, Sober Glory's been my horse for a long time now. When he first ran, and then obviously when he won at Newbury that day. So I'd like to see him win. 8-13 at Aintree is just not something I would ever consider, because it's just not my game at Aintree. But I think he was the moral winner at Cheltenham. I think he would have won at Cheltenham. He was very well backed to do so. I'd love to see Philip Hobbs and Johnson White with a, you know, proper. I don't know what they'll do with him, but I'd stick around with him, going champ and hurdling with him next year and see how he could fare, because I think he's a really good horse. I want him to win, sorry, Ben, but I think he will too. I think this track will play to his strengths. I think.
Yeah. Okay. Although it will be interesting, because I do, you know, Baron Noir, he's been a keen going horse, and he almost did too much at Kempton, and I don't know if Tom Bellamy maybe had that in the back of his mind, and will try and settle him round in the Supreme, and it kind of ended up backfiring to a certain extent. But I do wonder whether, I mean, he's not going to be sitting in that far back this time. He's going to be on the heels of Sober Glory, surely.
I would have thought so. Yeah, I thought it would be a lot closer. I remember watching that race live and thinking that two of the first three had been in the first two or three places throughout, hadn't they? And my daddy Paddy came from a bit further back, didn't he? And thinking, well, you know, how good are they? And then going back and seeing the winning time and thinking, actually, that's a pretty fast time. And then, yeah. And then as the week went on, it became even more blindingly obvious that it was arguably the best time performance of the week. The Supreme and the first three came clear, didn't they? Fair play to Baron Noir for keeping on for fourth, but he was a well-beaten fourth in the end.
Yeah.
And if Sober Glory had jumped the last, he would have gone very close to winning, wouldn't he? So My conclusion at the end of the Cheltenham Festival was that the Supreme was probably the best race of the week, and it would make no sense for them all to go chasing next year, and whichever one stayed over hurdles I would want to be with for the Champion Hurdle, because I don't think the Champion Hurdle division is particularly strong, is it? We saw that today, you know, they all ran to the same race. So I hope they run Sober Glory in the Champion Hurdle after he wins this. I think he will win, but of course, in the back of your mind, it's got to be the fact that he has had quite a few hard races this season, including at Cheltenham last time.
Yeah.
He totally bombed out, didn't he, at short odds at Sandown, somewhere in the middle of his good run. And who knows what has happened since Cheltenham, how much that's taken out of him, whether he can turn up yet again to the well and go to the well again. But he's generally consistent, and if he runs that same race as he did at Cheltenham, he will win, I think, Ross.
Yes, yeah, I think you're probably right, yeah. Albeit, I do, like I said, I do think it'll be more of a race between the front two than it was, obviously, at Cheltenham, because I do think Tom Bellamy will be a bit more... He'll be emboldened, I think, by that run machine. How many runs has he had in the... the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... last, 25 years? Yeah, you've had two horses win with 5 runs in the past year, 4 with 6 runs, so it's... Yeah, I know what you mean about the long season, but...
Well, my worry going into the Supreme with Sober Glory was that he'd had a hard race at Newbury beforehand on heavy ground, running a really big time. And then he came out and did it again at Cheltenham, but how many times can you keep doing that? And he does have that one blot on his record at Sandown where he was awful. So, you know, I wouldn't want to be smashing into him. I will probably have a little swipe at La Conquiere. Okay. Again, last time you and I and Tom were on this show was at Cheltenham when I napped La Conquiere in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle.
Yeah.
And again, it was another one that those got duffed up at the start.
I mean, about 80% of the runners in that race just couldn't win, could they?
Yeah, she was in position Z after 2 flights of hurdles and had no chance of winning. And she gets £7 from the boys here, La Conquiere, and I think that she's a lot better than she showed at Cheltenham that day. So I'll definitely be having a little swipe each way at La Conquiere. It's just a shame we don't have 8 runners, do we? Only 2 places on offer.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to, again, petition that we change the title of this show to Hello and Welcome to It's a Shame We Don't Have 8 Runners. it is frustrating, but yeah. Okay, so we think... You think the Supreme form is going to be upheld, Tom?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I do. I get the, like, Le Conquiere is a lot better than she showed at Cheltenham. Flat track. She's quick. She ran well in the bumper here. So, yeah, I could give her a shot of filling in. Sinatra ran well in the county, but I hope Sober Glory wins because I think he's very good.
All right. Right, let's move on to the Melling Chase then. Grade 1 action over 2.5 miles and Hartwood 11-8 favourite to...
Oh, Ross Hartwood, here we are. Come on, Ross.
Look, if you weren't at the wedding, don't come to the funeral with me. That's you. I invited you all along. You didn't want to know. You didn't want to know. And now look, you've got to take 11.08. If you want to cash in off a bit of Hartwood. It's 11.08 for Henry de Bromhead and Dara O'Keefe. 5-2 Grey Dawning. Gidley Park at 6-1. Solness at 8s. Lotusud at 12s. JPR 1-16s. And San Sigal, or Saint Seagull, if you're watching this show, is 50-1 outsider of the bunch. And yeah, we've got an 11.08 favourite. It's a shame there's not 8 runners for each way purposes in this race as well, Tom. But yeah, Hartwood, he's back again.
Is he going to win, Ross? Come on, you're his chairman of the fan club.
I've done it. I've had it. I'm the. You know what you were saying earlier about when horses let you down. I'm the opposite now. He's done everything he can for me at Cheltenham. I hope he does.
How much did you pay JP to pull out?
Yeah. Look, I WhatsApped him.
Are we paying you too much? You managed to get to JP.
I WhatsApped him. I got the 2 blue ticks. He didn't reply, but I think he knew really. at least it was JP someone in my phone book anyway, I'm not sure. But look, obviously Henry is very, very good with this type of horse, isn't he? You know, we saw we cocktailed him in today, and the thing is, every single thing went right at Cheltenham for Hartwood, including Vactifile being withdrawn. He was in the perfect position. He pinged every fence. He was given the perfect ride. His rivals were either the wrong horse of the race, hadn't been aimed at it, were in the wrong position, were undercooked, whatever.
Not badly.
Every other horse in that race had negatives, and Hartwood, everything came to fruition. And it was amazing. But do I want to play some of that winnings and put 11 away? Not really, Tom. Do I hope he goes in again? Absolutely.
Well, that's exactly how I would describe it as well. I watched the Ryanair with you in mind, Ross, watching it because I didn't have a bet in it. And I was sitting there watching it and thinking, oh, go on, win, go on, Hartwood, win. And he did it, as you say, it was poetry in motion. It was impossible for him to lose. Everything else was making mistakes, and it was partly because of how well he was jumping. But he was up. John Bond was upside, and John Bond can't jump like Hartwood can. And then Bambridge was in behind, smashing into things, and it was like over from a long way out. So it must have been an easy watch for you. And yes, he was very good that day. There's no doubt about it. The time was good as well. So when I was a bit negative about it on the day, I was probably wrong because I was cross that I hadn't backed it when you told me to. But he's clearly the horse to beat. I don't really fancy Grey Dawning, if truth be told. I love Grey Dawning, but he's just a bit in and out. And how good actually is Grey Dawning?
Do you know there's only, and again, it's a weird, there's only, since 1998, only two horses, from what I can see, came from the Gold Cup to this race. Because it's quite a change in gear, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is a total change in gear. And they're going to go, the thing about this race is there is so much pace, isn't there? JPR1, Solness, Gidley Park. They're not going to mess around here. Now, people will say they'll take each other on and they'll set it up for a finisher. What it does is it puts jumping right to the fore, and that brings Hartwood to the fore because he's the best jumper for me in this race. I thought he was brilliant at thing. I expect him, I think he's the one to beat, but I do give Gidley Park a shot. I think the form of his second last year when he split Django Bay and Impere Pass, I think they're, I mean, Hartwood's, before the Ryanair, I would have said they were better than Hartwood. And I still think they're probably on a par with him. So to split them was a really good run. The problem with him is that he really is boom or bust, isn't he, Gidley Park? He either pulls up with a heart murmur or runs an absolute blinder. Now, the vibe from Harry Fryer that he's going really strong at home and that he wears a heart monitor and he does all this stuff and there's been no sign of it at all recently, and he does go well fresh. So I could see, I think he's a really good horse, Gidley Park, when he's right. If he's right, I think he'll give Hartwood a race. I don't think any of the others can. So I'd be prepared to have a few quid on Gidley Park. There is a chance Solness might go out and try and dominate, but the JPR1's right in there with him. I just don't know if he'll stay the trip properly either. So I think it's between Hartwood and Gidley Park. At the prices, I'll have a few quid on Gidley.
All right, Gidley Park is a 6-1 shot. What do you make of the Melling Chase, G-Rod?
Yeah, I mean, what you were basically saying is it was Hartwood's day.
It was,
of course, in the Ryanair. Absolutely everything went right for him on that day, and he took full advantage and he looked brilliant. Has his day already passed? Is the question that we're now asking. Has he had his day?
Albeit, the only thing I would say is it's none of these day. In this race, is it necessarily? I mean, I don't know. But you might tell me wrong. I don't know.
Well, Gidley Park could be his day.
Could be his day.
He has been kept fresh, I presume, for this race in mind, given that his best performance last year came at the track, didn't it? When he was behind Impera Pass, was it, I think? And Impera Pass and Django Bay was running well today. They would have fought out the finish, wouldn't they, if they both stood up. So, and then I thought it was a monstrous performance first time out against Django Bay. He went at a really quick pace and set the race up for Django Bay to record a massive time. He only really paid for that in the last part of the race. And as a result of him going so fast, Harry Fryam come to the conclusion that he might be able to make a two-miler out of him, didn't he? And went and ran at Ascot in the two-mile race, thinking that he could be a champion chase horse. And then, like Tom said, you know, he has this problem with his heart where he bombs out every now and again. And unfortunately, he was never going, was he, from an early stage? I don't even think he was. I mean, he may have had a heart problem, but But he was never going in that race, was he?
And that race, I mean, neither was Elite Tom. And look what he did next time out as well.
Yeah, it was just a strange race, wasn't it? And again, it was a monstrous time, I think. Was it John Bond won it, didn't he? And
I mean, it was a brutal... It's only a four-runner race, but that was a grade one, you know. It was a proper test. And I think you'd certainly forgive him taking on those horses at that track over that trip in those conditions in the way that race was run.
Definitely. And we just... like on his day, if it's his day... you got a massive engine, Gidley Park, and he's capable of winning, I think. And Harry Fry, I noted that he's had two winners from his last six runners, but he's actually got more runners over the next couple of days, I think, than he has in the last 2 weeks. You know, he's really unloading them at Aintree this year, almost as though he may have targeted the meeting. So I thought it might be Gidley Park's day, but I think Tom's already said it. He's probably either going to win or totally blow out. Yep. There's no middle ground there.
No, fair enough. The only other one is, I mean, I do think Solnit is interested. There's been a lot of money for him. And I thought he was interested for Cheltenham because, I mean, he has won as many Grade 1s in the last 18 months as Hartwood and Grey Dawning have full stop. And he is a very, very good horse on good ground when he gets into a rhythm. I thought he bounced... you know, like a rubber ball last time out after off that big run first time. He's beat Marie Nationale. He's beat genuine Grade 1 horses on multiple occasions. He's also won over this trip. And again, it might have been in a bit of a Mickey Mouse race, Tom, but at least he's gone out and done it. And I do think he's very, very interesting. Joseph O'Brien's horses are flying over both coves. He's still only 8 years old and... I think it's worth a crack this trip because, like you said, he's gonna take a lot of these out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely, he is. It's just the JPR one factor that slightly puts me off him. Now I'm the last person that should talk about tactics because I'm rubbish at it. But JPR one went really hard, didn't he, in the Ryanair, which was what helped Hartwood. Now. How are they going to ride Solness? Are they going to go really hard over up in trip? Or are they going to try and sit and? I mean, I presume he's only got one way of racing. So it was like we were talking about Alexei yesterday, weren't we?
Yeah.
I didn't think Alexei stayed today.
Really?
That was my feeling. No, I didn't. I thought he was. I think he's better going much faster. That's my opinion about Alexei. I think. Not that he didn't stay, but that it just didn't suit him the way that the race went.
It definitely didn't suit him. Yeah, I agree with you.
And so I think he would be a lot better back at 2 miles, if you see what I mean. It's not that he didn't necessarily stay, but because they go much stronger pace, his cruise ability helps. Now, that's the question I got with Solness. Is he really going to... I think he's only got one way of going, which is go as fast as he can, as long as he can. And while that he might last out here, he's going to have pressure.
So you're basically saying, can he breaking them over two he break them over this trip at this track?
Correct, especially when he's got pace pressure with him. Because when he's been winning at Leopardstown, those Irish races are run very differently around Christmas, around Leopardstown. They sort of let him do what he likes, don't they? They let him go off. Marine National sits behind. Gaelic Warrior used to sit behind. They all used to sit behind and then they could never catch him. I just don't know if that's going to be the case. I think you're right that he's interesting. Because if he jumps like he can and gets out in front like he can, then yes, he would be of interest for sure. But I just don't know if that scenario is going to happen. But then, as I say, I'm absolutely hopeless at trying to work out what's going to happen in a race. So I could have got it completely wrong.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's have a look. Dave Brown thinks Grey Dawning is one of the most overrated horses in training and that Hartwood will dot up. There you go. That's for Dave Brown. Whereas Dorian thinks Grey Dawning will win this on the bridle back in distance. Again, it really is. It's amazing, isn't it? It's the same sport. It's the same horses. It's the same races. And yet, we get 100 people to watch something and they'll just come out with completely different opinions. And that's why it's so good. Anyway, right, moving on to the top of where Madara is 4-1 favourite here. Il Atlantique is 7-1. Gentleman Demay at 8-1. Will the Wise at 8-1. Coming up, Easy 12s, Prairie Wolf 12s, 14s, Boom Boom, and Listener Malt Lad. Tom, No. Sorry, mate.
Ross, we should mention it. Poor old Gawan this morning died in his warming up for the Guineas. So I've he's one of my favourite horses in training.
Oh,
so it's been, it's been a bad, he broke down at Kempton while he was getting ready for the Guineas. So unfortunately, he's no longer with us. So that was a real shame. And, you know, then throwing Lisna Malt Lad onto me and mentioning Rogue Diplomat. You're not in my good books anymore.
I'm sorry, Tom. It's not intentional. It's just, you know, I just...
You just do it every time, Ross. Every time.
It's because, you know what, Tom? It's because I listen. I listen to what you say.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ross.
And I take it in. And I remember. I remember when you're on a horse. I remember when you fancy a horse. I remember when you make a good case for a horse. And I genuinely, I'm not, it's not from a, the horse has got beat. It's more like, oh, God, Tom's put that up and I know exactly how he's going to be feeling. It's because, you know, I've been doing the show for 5 years.
I know. Amazing, isn't it? Five years.
5 years, and I care, Tom. I care. I want you to have winners.
Good man. Good man. How's your toe?
It's fine, thanks, Dad. anyway, the top over national fences. Ronners is going to tell us that Cheltenham was Madara's day and that Aintree isn't. So whose day is it tomorrow, Tom?
Well, it could easily be Madara's, couldn't it? We saw Barton Snow today, didn't we? And it was like, you know, it was like you didn't even have to watch any other horse. I mean, literally, you're watching the race and all you can do is watch Barton Snow. No other horse was involved. And Madara was the same at Cheltenham, wasn't he, in the plate? It was just like, you know how you get those races where you just know what's going to happen. Mm. You're just watching it and one horse is just staring you in the face. Well, I the scouts are really keen on him again. He's only seven. He reminds me a bit of his panic attack in the Topham and the Coral Gold Cup this year, where everyone said, oh, she's done her winning. And then you watch the Coral Gold Cup and there's only one winner for after about halfway. I'm scared that Madara will be that again.
Yeah.
And that 4-1 might be a good price. He was the easiest winner of the Cheltenham at the Cheltenham Festival. And this isn't that strong a race, I don't think. But then it is about getting into a rhythm. And is he going to get into a rhythm? Well, is it about getting into a rhythm? Maybe it's not anymore. Who knows? I thought the interesting one for me was Prairie Wall for us. I just think he's a... Throw out the Cheltenham run where he clearly doesn't like Cheltenham. He's just like... He's a bit Madara-ish himself, isn't he? He's getting better every time he runs. I was really impressed with him at Newbury last time. Those horses like Cheltenham and Twin Jets they're weapons around Newbury. They have got superb form and he stuffed them. He stuffed them really well. He only went up 4 pounds. Flat track, going left-handed, jumped really well. The Sue Smith, Joel Parkinson team are having an incredible run with their sort of handicap chasers this year. I thought he might go well at a big price, but look, Madara is incredibly dangerous.
Yeah, Madara 4-1 then, potentially. For lightning to strike twice, G-Rod. But again... you'll have a selection after two fences, I'm sure, but let's have a crack at coming up with one the night before, at the very least.
I backed Boom Born. I'm a little bit disappointed to see Madara in there, shall we say.
Yeah.
Because after the race at Cheltenham, the plate, I think it was, that he ran in, I thought, right, this... Boom Bourne's definitely going to be lined up for something at Aintree. His best run was here last year. And then he ran well against Gaelic Warrior, funnily enough, at Sandown.
Yep.
And he's got like grade one novice form, or grade one form even. He was going as well as Gaelic Warrior coming to the pond fence that day at Sandown. And then, obviously, this is the... I mean, I don't mean to...
You thought that was Madara's day, so Aintree would be Boom Bourne's day.
Yeah.
And then, basically, Madara's turned up...
To spoil my party.
Yeah.
I thought...
And Boom Bourne, Rodgers, has gone 8, 10, 12, 14, 16.
Yes, exactly.
because everyone thought the same thing. They've gone, oh... Oh no!
I thought I was being so clever. Yeah. I was like, I know this Dan Skelton. I know what he's up to.
Yeah.
He can't be trusted. That Dan Skelton. He's got this down the weights. This is going to turn up. It's going to go off 7-2. Harry Skelton's going to ride it, and then Tristan Darrell booked, and he's got Madara at the top of the market. I still backed him. Obviously, I can't see him win and not be on him.
Yeah.
He's incredibly well handicapped if he comes back to his novice form that he showed at this track last season. I just wish Madara wasn't in the race and that Harry Skelton was riding a Notris and Darrell. But Darrell did win the Coral Gold Cup, didn't he,
yeah,
on board
he's had a cracking attack, season.
And he's had a great year. So,
well, I mean, he's like your Arsenal second team or whatever. You know, when the first team are doing really well, you get some great games in the Cups. It feels like that for Tristan Darrell this year.
Yeah, it's not a bad gig, is it?
It's a great
being
gig.
Second jockey to Dan Skelton, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, so Boonborn. Maybe you are a genius after all. You might come off. You never know.
What about the draft day, boys? Wouldn't it? He could be a great sight round there, couldn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say. I did a double take. I had to rub my eyes. Hang on a minute, because I was looking at the speed figures, and I thought I saw Ilek Lantique multiple times. I thought, crikey, he's got some good numbers, and then I realised that half of them were Le Francais, and then my brain clicked. Oh, it's Le Francais. What a drop in grade.
Yeah, amazing drop in grade. If he set a wind up, now you can't back him on what he's done this year, can you? He looks like he's got more issues than, you know, a 90-year-old, you know, ex-rugby player or something. But he looks all over the shop. But my God, was he good at Kempton those twice. And wouldn't he be great if he could just be awesome running around there? One other I'd thrown, huge price, Gipcott. For the O'Neills, right down the bottom. I was really impressed with him at Ascot two starts ago when he was fourth in a race. He was backed off the boards and he was over 3 miles and he went way too hard. And Montregard won the race, but everything else came from behind. He then went, he's not a Cheltenham horse. He's not a Cheltenham horse at all, but he was only like 12-1 for the plate. And he ran fine up to a point. I think sort of his best form over hurdles. He was wildly impressive one day at Newbury. I always sort of compare Newbury and Aintree a bit. Don't know why. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But they seem the same sort of tracks. And I just wondered if this sort of race might suit him. You know, just sort of he's a very quick, economical jumper.
Yep.
Sort of this trip, Newbury, left-handed, Aintree. Could well. I think he's about 50-1.
Yep. Fair enough. Okay. The other one I kind of half-arced off was, again, the price surprised me, was O'More Park, who's another one of those horses who just keeps running, keeps finishing 4th, 5th, 6th in really, really good handicaps. And he's 33-1. He was 6th behind Madara, but again, Madara, the perfect trip round, and he most certainly did not. And he was closing at the line as well. He really finished his race off well, so thought he could be a little bit interesting. But Teddy Blue for Leo, Prairie Wolf for Romping Home, Hitman for Rob Dixon, Teddy Blue again for Leo. He's fancies Teddy Blue. And Accelo Each Way for Johnny Boy. Right, move on to grade one action again here with the Sefton, where we get to test the Albert Bartlett form. Johnny's Jory, 3-1. No drama this end, 7-2. Zeus Power is 9-2. Mondwee Boys, 5s. 8-1, Dalston Lad. And 9-1, Bart Those. And we've got, excuse me. I thought I could make it through, but I couldn't. We've got the Albert Bartlett form being tested here with the winner Johnny's Jory and Mondwee Boy, amongst others. We've got, plenty of drama. After no drama this end at Cheltenham, and a jockey change as well to throw into the mix. And Zeus Power, who shot home from God knows where in the Turners as well. Fascinating grade one here at Rodders. Tough one to call, admittedly, but that's what makes it, for me, an exciting novice hurdle. You might tell me it's too tough, but I'm sure there's something stands out. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a great race, isn't it? Horses coming out of the Albert Bartlett have actually got a good, better record if they were beaten in the Albert Bartlett than they were if they won it. And of course, Mondwee Boy was fourth and Johnny's Jury won it. But Johnny's Jury did really finish off quite well that day, didn't he? I find it difficult to choose between the two.
But again, I guess in my head, I think is finishing off really well at Cheltenham going to... Is that what you want at Aintree necessarily?
Well, yeah, we don't know. You could say you can't say it's a bad thing.
No, it's definitely not a bad thing. Yeah, no.
I'm not strong on one, but I would have thought Dalston Lad will be the most interesting coming in fresh. I think recently, a few winners recently have come in without running at Cheltenham, and Skelton. Ran him in the Prestige at Haydock. The race was running a good time for the grade, and he'd be the one that I would back. Not strong on him, though.
Yeah, I quite liked him though. I was pretty impressed. He's got up to, Skettle's done that a few times this season, but he stepped up to three miles. So you're like, oh, okay, we'll see how they go, and they've relished it, and he just kept going and going and going and going. He's got course form as well from bumpers. Yeah, I thought him and Talk to the Man were interesting, Tom, because again at that, I know it wasn't much of a race he won at Newbury, but he was, it was him versus the big club man, and they were going, and then they jumped the last. And he pulled away, and I thought, oh, I thought he was in fourth gear, but maybe he was in second. So those two interested me. What about you?
Yeah, he's a tracker horse of mine. Talk to the Man. I really liked him at Thing. Thing about this race is I think four of the last five have sort of come not from Cheltenham in any race. And the point is that when Johnny's Jury won the Albert Barley, he was rated, 128? When Zeus Power was third in the Turners, what was he rate? 133 or something? Wondooey Boy was rated about the same when he ran. So, you know, so it's not, it wouldn't be the greatest surprise. We've seen it so many times before in this race where something sort of that rated comes and takes the step forward because they've missed Cheltenham in a race like this. You can make that case with Dalston Lad. You can make that race with Talk to the Man. There's an Irish horse called Harbour Paddy, is he? Or something like that?
Shadow Paddy.
Shadow Paddy. That has been winning on good ground. He's well, I think it's four from five on good ground. And every time he goes up in trip, he looks better. He's rated 132, 133. He's not far off on Racing Post ratings. He's about 50-1. You know, and he's been kept back. He likes good ground. He's going to appreciate the step up in trip. So he's loads of this can happen in this race. We've seen it last year with the Snowden horse. We saw it with Ahoy Senor, did it, didn't he, and won this race. The horses with big prices without the profile, because they haven't run at Cheltenham, can come and win this race. So I'd be prepared to take a chance on a Talk to the Man, Dalston Lad, and I've backed Shadow Paddy at a big price, just because that's the type of race it is. You know, that's the type of race the Albert Bartlett is every year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something comes from out the woodwork that you weren't expecting and wins the race. That happens here too. So why not treat it like that? You know, why not treat that race like that? It has a history of happening, as I've said, with a couple of the winners recently. So I've thrown a few quid at Shadow Paddy just because I think he'll like 3 miles. I think he's clearly been trained for the race, and he's four from five on good ground.
Okay, Shadow Paddy then, for Owen McCarthy. Like you said, and you've, you know, Apple Away as well.
Yeah, Apple Away's another one, isn't she? Yeah. She was another one. And I can't remember the Jamie Snowden's horse that won it last year. But
Julia de Picton? So.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. They came from you weren't expecting them, were you?
No, and again, they're young horses, aren't they? So they haven't been tested at this level. So it's the ones who rise to the occasion. And again, no one was necessarily expecting Johnny's Jury to rise to the occasion. But now he's put his head above the parapet. And there are a lot of others who will be looking at this thinking, well, I just haven't had my chance yet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, No Drama This End could easily bounce back, couldn't he? Zeus Power was a finisher, wasn't he? Thing. Mandooey Boy was the only that was sort of raced up with a pace in the Albert Barlett and kept there. So you can make cases for them. It's just that, you know, these races, you know, there's no Mullins horse in there, is there, to come and to smash them all up. It's probably more open than you think.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, look, if Johnny's Jury can improve £18 in one run,
yeah,
then someone else can as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, a few against the field then for the Sefton. And we close off with the conditional jockeys and amateur riders at Handicap Hurdle, where 22 of them are line up here. Harry Lowe is 7-2, Sherman 8-13-2, Poké Papapá is 9-1, Wandering Ego 10s, Rubberball 11s, Reckless Eric 12s, Captain Ryan Mad is 14s with Charles, and bigger prices the rest. 22 runners are Dan Skelton, Handicap favourite here in Harry Lowe's, who got into a bit of a bargy match at Windsor with Scorpio Rising in the race that we've already talked about. And he's 7-2 favourite here for a yard who won it last year, admittedly, with a horse at a very big price coming off the back of an absence. But just to make yourself feel better, Tom, my best bet of entry last year was Slugger in this, and I thought I had the race won. And then Skelton came and did me out of God knows where on the line. So, look, it happens to us all, G-Rod. But 22 runners and a conditional jockeys and amateur riders handicap hurdle. Rub your temples and give us a pick.
it's a real difficult one.
It is, yeah.
A few things jumped out at me. The first one was that Patrick Mullins is riding for Harry Fry. We've already discussed a couple of times, and talking about him unloading some of his better horses. I thought he might be one of them. The other one that jumped out at me was, I read the quotes earlier, and if you get the chance to go on the website or a Racing Post and read Dan Skelton's quotes, I think he's got three in this. And the first thing he says is, well, you can't really say that, you can't really make an argument that Charles is going to come out and win this out of nowhere because he was beaten a mile last time out. But this trip will really suit him very well. And going around Aintree, and the first thing I thought was, well, that's a very strange thing to say. It was almost like he was covering his back.
Yeah.
Should it go and win with a bunch of zeros and by his name? And of course, he did win the race last year with a 25-1 outsider. And he's got Harry Lowe's, who Tristan Durrell is up, his favourite, and Charles is a much bigger price with Harry Atkins on. Yeah. And Harry Atkins has ridden him on both starts since Dan Skelton took over the training from Willie Mullins, which makes you think, has Dan Skelton always had this race in mind, and he's had Harry Atkins up both times in order to give him a bit of experience on board the horse.
Hang on, I'm just going to run my temples now.
Before he comes into this race, which is for conditional jockeys.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it just stood out like a sore thumb, that quote. So, yeah.
He's another one who ran into, he had some interesting juvenile form for Willie Mullins, and then he went on a bit of a weird flat tour. Mm. So I have no idea how good Charles is.
I don't know.
It could be anything.
Yeah, it could be anything. A lot of these, it's a guessing game race. No Ordinary Joe, been waiting for him to come back. I mean, he was trained by Henderson, loads and loads of good form, goes to Faye Bramley, has wind surgery, so does really well with horses coming off wind surgery, ran really well at Ascot and was quite well fancied, then continues to go back down the weights. Yeah. And then she's sticking a visor, tongue strap, all the stuff on, and Isabel Ryder has got quite a good record for the Bramley Yard. I think she's had a winner, third, a fourth, very few rides for them, so...
And she's actually won a... She was 2 from 2 at Hereford the other day, so she's 4 from 11 in the past 2 weeks, 36% strike rate. She's won on her last 2 rides, so she's full of confidence.
As you can tell, Ross, like, I don't really have a coherent argument for it. I just have lots of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, that's funny. Exactly that. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. It's like being on... It's like being on Twitter, this. It's just like it's a conspiracy theory coming out of it. But again, you've been writing 10,000 words on the Grand National, probably. and I can imagine you got to this race and your head almost exploded, which is understandable. But again, I love a big field handicap hurdle. A few stood out to me, Tom, but you close us out here with the 22 runners in the 5:15.
Give us your two first, Ross, and then I'll blow them out of the water.
All right, OK. top of the list was Reckless Eric.
Reckless Eric.
I thought he
liked him. He's all right. He's got a chance for sure.
I thought he ran an absolute blinder at Sandown. Yeah. He came from God knows where, and he picked one off. He picked another off, and then remarkably, he got beat by Mondo Man, which shouldn't happen to anyone.
Not a better trainer of 2 mile handicap hurdlers at the moment than the O'Neills. They're winning them all.
Yeah. Well, not even 2 mile. Again, Wellington Arch. Yeah, Willful. Yeah.
Lots of them. Yeah. They win them.
And I looked at the Rubber Ball Melon form and I thought both of those two would have a chance. And I kind of thought, well, I can't decide between the two of them, so ignore them. And the other one was Poor K. Paul Nichols has run 3 4-year-olds in this. Blue King Doru, Frodon, and Cap Gary. They finished 6th, 5th and 2nd. This horse just keeps running absolute blinders in really, really strong races. And I just think he's going to relish this test. He's finished 2nd to Johnny's Jewelry at Exeter in a race that I've followed all winter, apart from when the winner won the bloody Albert Barlett. And I thought he ran a cracker in the Fred Winter as well. So, yeah, they were my two. Reckless Eric and Porqué Papapapa.
Yeah, Porqué Papapa. It was a bit unlucky, I thought, in the Fred Winter. Yeah, he can go well. I thought Wandering Ego might go well. It's not a race that I had too much time for, but Wandering Ego, believe it or not, was favourite to give Old Park Star £6 at Kempton at the start of the season. He obviously couldn't do that, but he didn't run badly. He looks like he's on a perfectly feasible mark. I was quite impressed with him at Huntingdon last time. He just looked like a horse that was just peaking, you know, me in preparation. I just thought he looked, I mean, Ollie Murphy has a good record in this type of race too, especially around Aintree. He nearly won the county hurdle as well. And I just thought Wandering Ego was one. I do think Harry Lowe's has got a very, you know, is interesting. We saw the bumper later yesterday or today with one of his sort of unexposed types. She came out and won easily. He beat Mighty Park, didn't he, in his point-to-point. And he actually just doesn't look like he's been staying 2.5 miles to me. When he ran at Market Raisin, when, I can't remember the name of the horse that won, it was a good horse, Montmartre beat him. He like shot into the, he came from a long way back, shot into the sort of contention jump in the last, made a mistake and sort of folded. So I could see him running well too, but everyone can see that at 7-2. Mm. I'd go for Wandering Ego, but it can make a case for tons. Captain Ryan Matt, for example, is a horse that travels really well and might go around Aintree.
All right, there you go. Thank you ever so much. Quickly on the chat, let's have a quick gander. Rubber ball could bounce along, says David Foster. Come on, David. There's something there, but if we could, a bit of editing will get there. There's something in there, I can feel it. Shermanator for Lee Richardson. Lee Richardson thinks, he's talking my language. He's saying the Nichols horse is a place banker. Paul K. Papa hits the frame all the time. Yeah, get involved in that. I can certainly see that happening. Right, OK, before we get the naps, again, a reminder, we are a partner with Boyle Sports, far in the know. Money back is a free bet if your horse loses. And again, read the terms and conditions for the exact specifications. They're too small on my screen, but sign up as a new customer in the link below and get involved tomorrow at Aintree. Right, best bets on day two of Aintree. You can have one if you want. Maybe I can have two. I don't know. Or you can have none. No, you've got to have one. You've got to have at least one, G-Rod. What are we feeling?
I'll go for Gidley Park in the 3:30. I'm just pleased you haven't asked me to do that quick fire roundup that we did last time when we were on at Cheltenham and it went so well.
Yeah, I kind of forgot to do that last night, and then I thought, oh, we'll do it tonight, and then I saw you on, and I thought, I can't put him through it again. I can't do it. So, we'll round it up for everyone afterwards. Tom, what's your best bet?
I will take, as I said yesterday, I'm addicted to the national fences, and one day I'll find a winner over them. I promise you that. One day I'll find a winner over the national fences again. But I'm going to have a few quid on Prairie Wolf.
All right, fair enough. Prairie Wolf over the national fences then. And I'm going to hope Regent Stroll does get into that rhythm and he does sort himself out at the start and we get to see the proper Regent Stroll because that would be nice to see. Right, thanks ever so much for watching. Again, like, subscribe, get involved in the comments in the chat if you haven't done so already, and we'll see you back here tomorrow night for the big one. We'll be going through the Grand National, of course, and the rest of the Saturday card. So tune in for that. Good night. God bless. See you tomorrow.